over the last 2,000 years, many leaders, gurus, and prophets have come and gone. Countless have been forgotten and even erased from history as time proved their messages and teachings to be short-lived and empty. A handful of them had enough staying power to still be relevant in our culture today. And now, we call them religions. All these heavyweights included Jesus in their religious teachings and claim him as a centerpiece of what they believe. But what happens when they go toe-to-toe with the teachings of Jesus himself? Who will be left standing when the final bell rings?
What a great morning so far, Friendship. We are so thankful for our worship team, the guys in the back, our tech team, who do such an unbelievable job. They always love it when we send them a whole bunch of videos to put in. They, like, really are excited about that. No, they're not. But they do a great job in doing that. Hey, you know, here at Friendship, we like to, when we talk on Sunday mornings, give what we call a big idea. Just one thing that if you miss everything else that we've talked about, you're able to kind of hang your hat on it. You're like, okay, I can remember that. And so we're going to start today with the big idea for this morning. And it's really specifically about what we're talking about, Jesus versus religion. And so the big idea is this. Religion says that we need to figure out it's all about this thing, okay? Religion is all about what you must do. Remember our definition for religion? It's about rules and ceremonies and traditions and all these things. All these things that you must do. Religion is all about what you must do, what you have to do. You've got to go here. You've got to say this. You've got to, you know, give this or do this or serve here or show up here or sing this way or bend down or stand up or whatever. It's all these things that you've got to do. And, of course, the idea is that if you do enough of those things, then God will love you. That's the way it works. Religion is all about what you must do. But here's the difference. When we begin to look at Jesus Christ is very, very different. Where religion is all about what you must do, Jesus is all about what he has done. Jesus is all about what he's done. It's not about what you have to do. It's not about, hey, you may need to make sure you check these things off your box, and you need to make sure you show up on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and if there's Wednesday night prayer group or Tuesday morning, you know, Bible study for men's at Bob Evans, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Maybe you've got a really highfalutin one, and you go to Denny's, whatever the case may be. You know, it's all about checking the list. But Jesus says, listen, no. That is not what it's about. It's about what I've already done. What I completed some 2,000 years ago on the cross and rising again victorious over sin and death. It's all about what I've done, not what you have to do. And see, the reality is that we, if we're honest about it, we really like the idea of religion because then we can mark things off of our list and go, I've done enough to earn it from God. Where Jesus says, no, there doesn't matter how much you do. It doesn't matter how much time you put in. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter if you live like Mother Teresa and you preach like Billy Graham. It doesn't matter because none of us are good enough. We're all going to fall short. And so what I want to do is I want to just share with you five ways that religion says you've got to do, but then Jesus goes, no, it's all about what I've done. I'm just going to share with you these five things really simply this morning. And it's all about religion says and then Jesus says. So if you are a note filler, you are like, this is a great day for you because there's like five blanks times two, then the two, and that's like 12 blanks. You're like, woohoo! So it's going to be a great day. So let's just begin because religion says this. Religion says, reach up to God. Religion says, reach up to God. In other words, listen, do your best, and here's what you need to do. You need to build your case, right? When you stand before God and he says, why should I let you into heaven? You go, here's why, Jesus. I showed up on Sunday morning. Listen, I was such a good person that I served. I was a welcome team person. I was out in the parking lot when it was snowing and it was cold and people were like almost running into me. And maybe like, no, listen, I am the cream of the crop. I've served in the nursery. I changed poopy diapers of kids that weren't even mine. See, Jesus, you should let me in. So it says, man, you need to reach up to God. Do everything you can to try to get higher and higher and higher. But Jesus says, no, God reached down. It's not about us reaching up. It's not about us trying to do better. It's not about us trying to see if we can get high enough for God to like us or love us or at least not kill us. Jesus says, no, God reached down. John chapter 3, verse 13 says this. Jesus Christ is talking. He says, no one has ever gone to heaven and returned. It's just not a reality. There's no one that's gone to heaven that can come back and tell you what it's like. There's no one that's gone to heaven that can tell you how he got there. There's no one that's gone. No, when you go to heaven, it's over with. You're done. You can't go to heaven on your own. It's not going to happen. And then he says this, but the Son of Man, Jesus, has come down from heaven. I always chuckle when people get irritated when we try to do things that make sense to people who don't typically go to church. We try to do things on Sunday morning. We try to do things, throughout how we do ministry and that type of thing that makes sense to people that typically don't go to church. Like, well, why would you do that? We're like, well, because God became flesh for us. God took on our culture. God took on our idea. God took on our humanity to show us what he was like. So I guess we should probably kind of do the same type of thing. To reach people for him. And God, the Bible says, reached down to love us. It's not about us reaching up because we can't reach up high enough. It doesn't matter. You may be like 7'8". I don't know that there's anybody that's 7'8". But you may be 7'8" on a 20-foot stepladder. You're not going to get high enough to God. In fact, in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, there was a group of people that lived in the plain called Shinar, and they built this thing called the Tower of Babel. And you know what their purpose was to build this huge thing? To get high enough to get to God. And they couldn't do it. Doesn't matter. Religion says reach up. God says I've already reached out. Religion says try harder. Just try harder. You ever gotten to a point, maybe you talk to somebody that's a religious person that, man, I just feel empty inside sometimes. And their response is, well, you just need to try harder. I always chuckle. For those of you that are part of Friendship, you know this. For those of you that are first-time guests, I have this thing. I have this guilty pleasure. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have this guilty pleasure. My entire family tends to go to bed very early, so I'm up left by myself like at 9 o'clock at night all by myself, and I can't go to bed that early. And I channel surf. And one of the channels that I like to stop on is the religious channel. And those of you that, know what I'm talking about, it's like, big hair and lots of makeup and, rhinestones and diamonds and all that stuff. And I love watching some of these guys they say that they're faith healers. Maybe you've seen them before, right? They like slap people on the forehead and, waving their coat over the audience and all this stuff. And what's amazing to me is that if somebody doesn't get healed, do you know whose fault it is? You must not have enough faith. It's your fault. You must not have enough faith. Here, let me place my hand on your head, and I'm going to heal you from this. And they're like, oh, I'm not healed. Like, well, you apparently don't have enough faith. See, that's what religion says. If you've got issues in your life, you need to try harder. Well, you need to pray more. You need to spend more time reading your Bible. You need to give more. You need to show up more. You need to dedicate your entire. You need to do more. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, stop trying. How radical is that? Jesus says, listen, you need to stop trying. That doesn't mean like give up and become a couch potato. He's just saying, listen, you need to stop trying to earn God's favor. You need to stop trying to make God love you. And here's why. Look at this. Jesus Christ was with his disciples, and there was a guy that was really, really wealthy, but he was good and he was smart and he loved God. And he followed all the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament. He came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And he says, listen, you must follow all the commandments. He says, I followed them all since I was a child. I when it comes to living my life, I have lived perfectly. And he says, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to give away all that you have to the poor. Jesus could see into his heart and he knew that he loved his money more than he loved God. And the guy turned around, dropped his head, and walked away. And the Bible says, because he was very wealthy. And the disciples freak out. They're like, Jesus, he could have bankrolled the entire ministry. What in the world are you doing? And watch this. He says, the disciples were astounded. And they literally said to him, then who in the world can be saved? If this guy, who was perfect and good looking and tall, like, okay, they're all Jewish, so he's not like super tall, but he's tall and he's got like blonde hair and he's wealthy and he really does the right thing and he's got all this money. He's like the perfect guy. He is the poster boy for Jesus' follower. And they said, if he can't do it, who in the world can? And notice his response. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. You can't. You and I, no matter how hard we try, we cannot earn God's love. But when God steps in, all things are possible. That's how Jesus ends it. He says, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Religion says, reach up. Jesus says, God, reach down. Religion says, try harder. Jesus says, stop trying. Religion says, God's the boss. You ever been somewhere or maybe talked to someone that's very religious? And they begin to tell you about God. And oftentimes, it's about how God is looking at you. And you get this idea, I don't know about you, but you get this idea sometimes that God is like a big, old, angry guy. And he's looking at everything you're doing, and he's waiting for you to really, really mess up so that he can, you know, put on his heavenly boot and just come out of heaven and just squash you like a bug. I mean, that's the idea. Well, if you don't surrender to God, God's going to get you. God's going to get you. God's going to get you. Oh, he's this and he's that. And it's this idea, this mentality that God is lording everything over us, and he's just waiting for us to mess up. Now, is God just? Is God righteous? Is God pure? Yes, those things are all true. But I think we also need to realize what Jesus teaches, because religion says God's the boss. Jesus says, God's your father. God's your father. Now, I don't know what kind of dad you had, but when we look at what dads are supposed to be, dads are supposed to be fair, right? They're supposed to be loving. They're supposed to be kind, but they're also supposed to be just. They hold you accountable. And so as we understand the relationship that Jesus says he wants us to have with God, it's not about this disjointed, you know, unconnected, irrelational relationship with God where God is just over us waiting for us to screw up, but rather it's a relationship of a father and a child and him coming alongside you. And yes, he disciplines, absolutely, but he also wants what's best for you. He wants what's absolutely best for your future and your life and all the things that you have in it. Look at what it says. Matthew 6, 26, Jesus again is talking. He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. In other words, he says, listen, you look at the birds, you look at the animals, you look at all the critters out there, right? And they live. God watches over them. In fact, think about the worst animal that you could possibly think of. It's probably a cat. I'm just saying. And God loves, that's love right there, that God can love a cat. And he watches over and he wants to, you know, that's if you like cats, relax, it's okay. God made him, I'm pretty sure. And he ends with this and he says, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Listen, you got to stop viewing God as this big, angry guy who wants to squash you, but rather he's a father who wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to discipline you, yes, to make you make sure that you're doing the right thing, not because he's angry, but because he wants to protect you. If you have children and your kid licks his finger and runs over to a light socket, what are you going to do? You're probably not going to go, oh, he'll learn. No, you're like, stop! And the kid's probably like, why are you screaming at me? Because you're going to kill yourself. That's why. And that's the relationship the Bible says that God the Father wants to have with us. Religion says you got to reach up. Jesus says God reached down. Religion says that God's the boss. Jesus says, God's your father. Religion says, try harder. Jesus says, stop trying. Religion sees people as the enemy. Religion sees people as the enemy. I stopped watching news on TV probably about a decade ago. Just everything was negative. Not like I don't know what's going on. I pay attention, but I just stopped watching news. Right or left, it doesn't matter. Fox News or CNN, it doesn't matter. I just stopped watching it. But one of the things that pops up in my news feed or pops up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram all the time are when these religious groups go to funerals or go to places and they stand on the sideline and they're very gentle, right? That's what you see all the time, right? They're screaming and they're hollering and they're saying, God hates you. You're going to hell. This and that, and it's all attacking the person. Do you realize that the Bible teaches that the person is not the problem? The person is not the problem, and the person is not the enemy. The reality is, if you truly read the pages of the Word of God, the Bible teaches that every person who doesn't know Jesus Christ has been taken hostage by something called sin. Whereas religion sees people as the enemy, Jesus knows that sin is the real enemy. Sin is the thing that has been kind of bred within us, because when two people have a child, those two people have a child based upon who they are. And the Bible says that since the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve rejected God, all men, women, children have been born as sinners, because when two sinners have a kid, guess what? It's a sinner. If you have a child that's 2 years old, you know this to be true. We're all born that way. And that sin has held us captive. And the Bible says that Jesus came not to condemn us, but to free us from sin. Look at this. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus Christ is literally hanging on the cross. He's gone through the worst 24 hours that any human being has ever gone through before. He has been beaten. He has been spit on. He has been cursed. He's been just absolutely torn apart. The flesh is hanging from his body. The Bible says that as he's being nailed to the cross, he was unrecognizable as a human being. Not as a man. Not like as a, ooh, that's, is that a guy or a girl? He doesn't have a beard. I don't know. No. He was unrecognizable as a human being because he was so beaten and bloody and bruised. And then they take his hands and his feet and they nail him to a cross. They strip him naked. I know the pictures have like a little loincloth. No. He's naked. Exposed to the world. And he's placed on a cross. And as he's hanging there, I don't know about you, but if you were innocent, you wouldn't be like, oh, you guys are so sweet and kind. You guys are awesome. I know it's not you. It's the government, the man. I want you to see what Jesus' response is. If any human being ever had the right to be able to be angry, to be justified in vengeance, it was Jesus. And yet Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. You see, Jesus recognized that it wasn't because of who they are, it was because of the sin that was in them. And what's so amazing about this is that Jesus, as he says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, the next phrase is, and the soldiers were at his feet gambling for his clothing. It wasn't like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, and everyone went, oh, wow, this guy is so great. They're like, yeah, whatever. And yet Jesus recognized that the people weren't the enemy. It was sin that held them captive. Religion says that we need to reach up to God. Jesus said God reached down. Religion says try harder. Jesus says stop trying. Religion says God's the boss. Jesus says no, God's the Father. Religion says and sees people as the enemy. Jesus knows that sin is the enemy. And then finally this, religion grades righteousness on a curve. Do you remember? Those of you that aren't in school anymore, it really probably my generation is maybe one of the last generations where they did this, but I don't know, where they did this curve, right? Remember the curve? You'd take a test and like everyone did poorly, and instead of the teacher going, "Wow, I must not have taught that well," they go, "Well, we need to put this on a curve." And here's what they do. They take the person who got the best score, right, and the person who got the worst score, and they have this bell curve that goes something like this. And then they place you, dependent upon how you scored, in relation to the person at the top of the score, and that was the score that you would get. You're like, "I got a 47, but hey, everyone else got a 53, so I got like a 90%. No, you didn't. You got half the grade wrong. You did not. No participation trophies. I mean, that's not how it works. But yet that's exactly how religion does it. If you can be more righteous than the person next to you, then you're okay. Some of you are going, "I'm pretty good then. I know them." See, that's the idea of religion. It's like you just got to be better than somebody else. And so religion is all based upon, can you be better than the person next to you? And if you're like, that's why people go, "Oh, I wish I could be like Mother Teresa." Is it that they really want to live in Calcutta and like live in poverty? No, they want to stand before God and go, "Listen, let me tell you what I did with my life. Mother Teresa, please. Brother Dave." Because it's all on a curve. And where religion grades righteousness on a curve, Jesus declared it on a cross. You see, righteousness, it's not something you and I can find on our own. No matter how hard we try, remember, Jesus has stopped trying. No matter how hard we try, we cannot achieve righteousness or perfection on our own. Have you ever tried to spend just 24 hours not thinking about something bad? Drive in rush hour traffic and try to have holy thoughts the whole time. Go someplace where you are the youngest person by 40 years and the lines are 50 feet long and try to think holy thoughts the entire time. You see, the reality is no matter how hard we try, we will never achieve righteousness. So here's what Jesus did. Jesus did something amazing. And we're going to read the passage of Scripture in just a second. But Jesus, when he went to the cross, took all of our sin for us. Every time you've ever done something wrong, anytime you've ever made a mistake, anytime you've ever thought something impure or evil or hard, anytime you've ever said something off color or laughed at something that was, anytime you've done anything that would fall into the category of not perfection, which I think, can we all agree that we're not perfect? Some of you are like, "Yeah, I think I'm not perfect." Can we all agree that we're not perfect? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure, because I'd be like, "I'm done. We don't need this." So we're not perfect. And so Jesus Christ took all of those imperfections, all of those flaws, all those times that we did it either on purpose or not, and he paid for it on the cross. John 19:30. This is Jesus on the cross, and it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. What was finished? What is he talking about? It's finished. His life? It doesn't make any sense. What was finished? What was finished was a transaction that took place, where Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, took all of your sins and he held it to himself. And the Bible says that he literally became that sin for us. And as he was on the cross, he paid the price for our sin. The Bible teaches that the payment of the wages of sin is death. forever separation from God, both now and for eternity. And the Bible says that Jesus took that all on himself, but then he did something else. We hear that all the time, that Jesus died for our sins, but Jesus also did something else. He took his righteousness, his perfection, his holiness, and he transferred that onto your account. He emptied your account of all the sin, and then he filled your account with all of his righteousness. And so when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," he was talking about the transaction has been made. I've taken your sin, and now you have my righteousness available for you. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. You see, the Bible teaches us this, that Jesus Christ did what you and I couldn't do. You see, Jesus doesn't say stop trying because there's no hope. He says stop trying because I've already provided the way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." You can't do it on your own. It's not like when you get to heaven, God's going to take all your good and all your bad and put it on a scale. It doesn't work that way. He's going to ask one simple question, and that is, "What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ?" That's it, because nothing else matters. Because if you say yes to Jesus Christ, that all of Christ's righteousness, and here's a word, you can look it up later, becomes imputed or transferred onto you. Now, does that mean that we are perfect? Yeah, no. But it means that God sees us that way. When God looks at you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, he doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see your flaws. He doesn't see your imperfections. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. And he loves you that way. You see, sometimes we get this idea, even after we accept Jesus Christ, that now it changes and transfers to where God's the boss again, right? Because that's what religion says. But that's not the case. This morning, whether this is your first time in church, first time here, or first time back to church in a long time, I want to invite you to think about what you've just heard from the Word of God. Religion says it's all about what you need to do. Try harder, work harder, reach up, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. It's an endless cycle of competition with the people around you. Jesus says, "No. I've already done what's necessary. All you have to do is accept it." If you've ever bought a house, which probably most of you have, you had to sign your name like 80 times. Sign here, sign here, sign here. And here's what's amazing, though. You could have all the money ready. You could have all the documents except for the last document signed. But if you don't sign and put your name on the dotted line of that last document, the house isn't yours. It's the same way with this. Jesus has done it all. His righteousness, your future hope, the purpose of God for your life is readily available for you in this very moment. But until you accept it, it doesn't become yours. So my challenge with you today is, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, that you would do it. Not because God wants something from you, but because God wants something for you. Not because we want to get you involved in the religion, we want to help you have a relationship. Not because God's going to be angry with you, but because God wants a relationship with you unlike anything you could begin to imagine. So if you would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? This morning we've talked about the fact that Jesus is greater than any religion. We've talked about the fact that although religion says a lot of things, Jesus says something completely different. And today, if you've never taken that step, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that right now. There's not some special dance or handshake. It's really simple. The Bible says that if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So what I'd like to do is, in the quietness of this moment, if you are like, man, I'm ready to take that step, I'd like you to pray this simple prayer with me right where you are, in your heart, in your mind. It doesn't even need to be out loud. God can hear you loud and clear. But just pray something simple like this. Dear God, I know I need Jesus. Doesn't matter how much religion or how many good things, it's not enough. I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me. And I want to live my life from this point forward to honor him. Father, every man and woman and child that heard that this morning, and those that prayed it, God, I pray that you would just give them just an excitement, an energy, a joy of knowing that a change has been made. That they're ready to live their lives for you. I pray, God, that we can come alongside them and help them become the men and the women that you've called them to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.